Thank you. Good morning. The reading this morning is Revelation chapter 1, and it's on page 991 of the Pew Bible. Revelation chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven servants before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power for ever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamon, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore what you have seen, what is now and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Thank you, David.
Let's pray together as we come to this word. Yeah, Father, would you please... just like the brilliance of the sun shines, would you shine in our hearts and minds through this word and show us things that we could not otherwise see except by your Spirit. You show us that we might be a worshipping people, Lord, a following people, and a people that are marked by love and courage and joy. Please, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. I remember when I was a child going to the theatre for the first time, and we all went into the theatre and we found our seats and we were comfortably settled in the seat. And before us, I remember a great stage, this great stage in front of us. But across the stage was a massive curtain, all heavy velvet curtain. And we were all gathered in the theatre, eagerly awaiting. And at some point, wonderfully, the curtain was pulled back, and behind the curtain there was a scene revealed that we could never have imagined. And the story began. The Greek word for revelation is apokalypsis. It's the word where we get apocalypse from. And it means to reveal or make known, like Sarah was saying to the kids earlier. The idea is when a curtain is drawn back and you see what's behind the curtain. It's a revelation. Verse 1 says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him. It's a revelation that came actually from no one other than Christ himself. And many people think of this world as just the imminent frame, just the table or the body or the soil or the air, and that when you die, that's all there is. But in the book of Revelation is saying, actually, there is a reality beyond this reality that you haven't yet seen. And it's a drawing back of the curtain. And unless we had a drawing back of the curtain in all sorts of ways, we would have very little understanding about reality as God sees reality. It says here that I'm going to, well, it doesn't say explicitly, but what it's saying is there is a reality behind this world that you cannot see. And in this book of Revelation, it's talking about what soon must be revealed. It says, I want to show the servants what soon must take place. Soon must take place. And so these servants to whom it was written nearly 2,000 years ago, we can expect that some of the things that are spoken about in the book of Revelation actually took place in the lifetime of those early believers. A bit like when Jesus said in Matthew 24, truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. There was an immediacy for the generation to whom it was written to. You know, and I know that in the book of Revelation, it's filled with symbols and numbers. The number 4, the number 7. We saw that here in the 7 lampstands and the 7 stars. The number 12, or multiples of that number. A Bible commentator made it plain that, in actual fact, the word Christ appears in the book of Revelation 7 times. And Jesus occurs in the book of Revelation 2 times, 7 times, 14 times. And the word Lamb occurs in the book of Revelation 28 times. 4 sevens are 28. And the word Babylon appears 6 times because it's the evil kingdom. And the number 12 appears 12 times in the description of the New Jerusalem. And so there's something intriguing going on in the book of Revelation. The symbols. We saw some symbols, as Jill read for us, about the lampstands and the stars, and they are explained to us. But many times, as we read on, there are symbols that are not explained. For example, in chapter 9, we get to the point where there are horses with heads of lions with fire coming out of their mouths. And we're never told what those symbols mean. I don't take those literally, but we need to be careful to know what these symbols mean. Do you know, I've been a pastor here for over 12 years, and I've never preached on the book of Revelation. And part of it is that it's not easy to understand. And I know that there are more interpretations on the book of Revelation than on any other book of the Bible. People take it this way and someone else takes it that way. And so I'm just asking you to be patient with us as preachers, because what we say may not totally line up with the way you see it, but I'll tell you true. We are trying to be true to the text. We're trying to best we can to understand what it says. And even in your connect groups, just be careful about how forcefully you make known your opinion on the book of Revelation, because it's not easy. It's difficult. And it's so easy for many people to have different interpretations. But notice there is a blessing. There is actually a blessing in the book of Revelation. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. How wonderful! And this coming Thursday, there will be a reading aloud of the words of this prophecy. And this says there, blessed. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart what is written, because the time is near. Blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart. Notice it doesn't say, blessed are those who tell everyone their understanding about it. It doesn't actually say that. It says, blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart. Not blessed is the one who draws the best graph. It's blessed is the one who hears it and takes it to heart, who is awed by it, who trembles at it, who is amazed by it. I remember as a young man, when I wasn't long a Christian, I had a car and it had a cassette tape in it. And I had these cassette tapes of the Bible, and I'd push the one in that said Revelation. And I would listen to the book of Revelation in my car over and over and over again. I loved to listen to it. I don't claim I understood it, but I loved it. I still love it. I think it's glorious. But our job is to understand it the best we can. Who wrote this book? Well, it was written, it says that God gave it to Jesus to give to an angel who gave it to John. And we believe that he's the Apostle John, a disciple of Christ. It says in verse 9, I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and the kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Christ Jesus. He says, I, John, and I'm your brother. And I'll tell you in what context he's the brother. He says, in suffering. He's suffering and patient endurance. And so this book is written in the context of terrible suffering, like severe suffering. In actual fact, John is suffering, it says, that he says that he was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. He's on this island called Patmos, out in the middle of nowhere. And why was he there? Well, he was testifying to Jesus. He was holding fast to the truth of who Christ is. And because he was holding fast to the testimony of Christ, and because he was holding fast to the word of God, they pushed him away and pushed him out. And they persecuted him and pushed him onto this island of Patmos, and this old man now suffering for the testimony of Christ. And part of the message of the book of Revelation is there are pressures that come on Christians, and the pressure is to conform or to compromise or to not hold fast to Christ. And John is saying, hold fast to the message and the truth of Christ. Who was this book written for? Well, it says John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Did you know the book of Revelation is written as a letter to seven churches in the province of Asia? Here they are here. I've got a picture of them. And there's Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Pamphylia, Laodicea, many of the churches that you've read about, that we've read about before. And if you look there, you'll see Patmos, this little tiny island in the middle of nowhere where this old man, John, is suffering. And a revelation comes to him from Christ. This revelation comes from the throne room of God. Grace and peace to you from him who was, who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the spirit, seven spirits before his throne. This revelation comes from him who is, and who was, and who is to come. This revelation comes from him that is at the start and in the middle and at right at the end. Later on, he talks about, I am the Alpha and the Omega in verse 8, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. The Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet, and he says, I'm across it all. I'm across the totality of it. There is nothing outside my view or outside my control. I'm sovereign over all. That's where this prophecy comes from. This revelation is from the throne room, the heavenly throne room. And John cannot help but burst into praise because he says, to him who loved us in verse 5 and freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. And John is just moved by the fact that he, this one, has loved us like no one else has loved us. Love that comes from heaven that's like no other love from earth. Praise be to God who loved us, and not only that, but who has cleansed us from our sins, freed us from our sins by his blood. That is the thing. That is the very center of it. That God has sent Christ to die on a cross and by his blood to purchase a people that he frees from sin. And all the shackles are broken. And he says, praise be to that God. And so now, having praised him, he says, look, he is coming in the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. He is coming. The vision of him is that he's coming. And he's coming in the clouds with great glory. Do you remember what Jesus says in Matthew 25? He says, and when the Son of Man comes with all the heavenly angels with him, it's going to be a glorious day. When he comes with all the angels and all the people. It says here, all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. And it may be that what he's saying here is that everyone who is a true Christian are those that see what happened to Christ and they're grieved. They're cut to the heart. And yet, now here he is. He's victorious. So let us hear now, let's turn now to the opening of the curtain that John, he actually is now going to tell us about his vision. Let's listen to this vision, the opening of the curtain. Verse 10. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit,
And I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches. So here it is on the Lord's Day, probably Sunday, the day that Jesus rose from the dead, the Lord's Day, the day that we meet as worshippers of Christ. On the Lord's Day, it says that he was in the Spirit. I wonder what that means, to be in the Spirit. In the prophecy of Ezekiel, Ezekiel says, I was lifted up in the Spirit. So this is a prophetic encounter that John is having, and somehow or another he is in the Spirit. And he hears a voice behind him, and the voice is like a trumpet. Wow. A voice like a trumpet. And he turns around to see the voice that was speaking, and when he turned, he saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and a golden sash around his chest. He turns around, he sees these lampstands, and they're burning with fire, burning with light, seven of them. And amongst them was one like a son of man. This image of the Son of Man is taken from the book of Daniel, chapter 7. I'll read a tiny bit of it for you from Daniel. In my vision, so this is going back 600 or 700 years before. It says, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days, and he was led into his presence. And you can read on. But here, reaching back into ancient text, now, John says, it's beginning to happen. That which Daniel predicted so long ago now is being rolled out. This one, this Son of Man, that we know is Jesus himself, because you might remember that Jesus takes that title as his favorite title when he talks about himself. His hair was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were blazing with fire. His feet were like glowing metal. So you know how you got metal in a furnace and you pull the metal out of the furnace and it's glowing? Well, that's what his feet were like. And his voice was like the rushing of many waters. So if you've ever been in a flood and the waters are just roaring and roaring, and that is like what his voice was like. And in his right hand, he held seven stars. Who has held seven stars? Well, this Son of Man was holding seven stars in his right hand. And out of his mouth came a double-edged sword. And his face shone like the brilliance of the sun. This is a magnificent picture of Christ. The greatness of Christ beyond our imagining, and these ancient prophecies from long ago are coming to pass. And John's reaction, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Do you know if any of us truly caught a glimpse of Christ, we would fall at his feet as though dead. When he came the first time, he came as a little baby. We carried him in his arm, carried in his lovely, and he died on a cruel cross, and people laughed at him. And we were able to look on him at that time. But if we saw him now, we would fall at his feet as though dead. But Jesus placed his right hand on John. He placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I'm the living one. I was dead, and now look, I'm alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. It's a very beautiful picture of falling, John falling at his feet as though dead, and then Jesus putting his right hand on him. And he says, do not be afraid. I'm the living one. I was dead and now I'm alive forever and ever. And what's more, I hold the keys to death and Hades. That means I hold the keys to death and hell. I've got the keys. I have the keys. The evil is not going to triumph. I hold the keys to everything. I'm the ruler. One of the things that John says is that he says, I am a fellow brother in the suffering and the faithful endurance of Christ Jesus. So yes, there is terrible suffering on the one hand, but on the other hand, there is great, great victory of Christ. At the end here, he explains the mystery. Mysteries are not always explained in the book of Revelation, but here Jesus does explain it. He says, write therefore in verse 19, what you have seen and now and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and on the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Each church has an angel. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands are the seven churches. I think when it says that the seven stars are the angel of the seven churches, partly what is being said here is that the churches are already participating in a heavenly existence. They're not just things on earth, but they are involved in and participating in things in heaven in a way that is hard to even for us to understand. So I'd like us to think, I could pull out 20 things from this passage to think about, but I just want to pull out 5 things, and they're quick, but just 5 things for us to dwell on from this passage. Number one, there is a reality beyond this world that we cannot see or know unless God shows us. And do you know what? That's true for every human being. The Bible teaches us that we are blind in our hearts, and there's many people who do not believe. There's a blindness. Some of you are here, and there's a blindness. You cannot see. And it's only God that can open the eyes of the heart that we can see truth and reality, which is far greater than anything that this world offers. Science digs in this part and explores that part of this world. But there's something impenetrable for science, and that is what God only can open your heart to know and believe, because you're more than just matter and a compilation of chemicals. You're made in the image of God, and only God can open your eyes to become alive. And this book of the Bible is saying there is a revelation, even for us as Christians, that we would not even know about. And behind the scene, there is a battle of good and evil. There's a massive battle between good and evil. We see what we see here. We see this and that around us. But behind the scene, going on right now, as the church is rolled out over the century, there is a battle. And it's a battle between good and evil. There is a reality beyond. That's number one. Number two, Jesus is very, very magnificent. Beyond our comprehension, he's deserving all of our worship, all of our praise, all of our bodies, all of our minds, all of our souls, all of our money, all of us. He's very, very magnificent. And if we saw him, we would fall down as though dead. And number three is the churches are lampstands. And the reason I point that out is because, do you know what? We as a church and God's church all over the world, we are to burn with a brightness. We are to have a flame. We are not to be smoldering and half asleep. We are not to be whatever. That is not us. We're to be a flame. We're to be lampstands, just like Jesus says, you are the light of the world. And so as a church, he wants his lampstands. And you know what? As we read through in the coming weeks, these letters to the churches, some of the words of Jesus to the churches are commendation, but some of them are judgment because they're asleep. And if Jesus wrote us a letter, do you know he would write some beautiful things to us, tender and loving. But we should be ready to expect him to say some things that are of correction as well. And we are to be lampstands in the sense that our joy needs to be high and our courage needs to be strong and our faith needs to be deep and our humility needs to be low. You know, we are lampstands. You and I, us as a church, burning for God. Number four, Jesus dwells among the churches. Do you know there's seven churches listed here? But it's my conviction that that number seven is a symbol of completeness. And although it's written to those seven churches, it refers to the church universal. And that this book of Revelation is not just to those seven churches, but to us and to the church throughout the world and throughout time. And so the point is that Jesus dwells amongst the churches. He turned around. What did he see? Lampstands, yes. But among the lampstands, Jesus was there. In the midst, dwelling. That's where he loves to dwell. He loves his church. In all his power and all his glory and all his... He's in the midst of the church. And this letter is a letter for the church. And he's dwelling in love and in tenderness. And his hand has got these stars saying yes. And these churches are involved in heavenly realities. And they need to know. We need to know. That's what we're doing here. We're those that have been believing the gospel and made alive. And number five, that although there is great suffering. So imagine now this old man, Paul, it's John. Old man John on the island of Patmos, cast out from far from all his support. Suffering. And he's writing to a people that are suffering. Persecution. And in the midst of suffering, there's victory. Tremendous victory in Christ. Those are going together in the book of Revelation. It's the suffering, yes, but it is the exalted Lord. And what the book of Revelation is saying, hold on, go through your life. There's people here that you are suffering. There's difficulties, there's hardships, and you're being smashed around. And the book of Revelation is saying to you, hold on, hold on. There is one coming. He's strong and he's mighty. He's undefeatable. He holds the keys of death and Hades. Out of his mouth comes a double-edged sword. His eyes are like blazing fire. Hold on. Don't give up. Keep going. even in the midst of suffering. And so that's my encouragement then to you this morning, for all of us, because we live in this pain-filled, broken world. But may the Lord, by His grace, give you a revelation of His strength, His holy love, of His power. Continue to look to Him. Continue to find refuge in Him and delight in His power and His victory. We're going to have communion together, but before we do, let me pray. Lord, please, Lord, You know how much we need the eyes of our hearts opened, how much we need a revelation of You. We're blind and we stumble around in the darkness, except that You come and open our eyes. And so I'm pleading with You, Lord, for us all, on behalf of us all, Lord, open our eyes that we might see how great You are.